You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Benjamin Friedman. Benjamin, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thanks, great to be here. Hello.
Benjamin, we're talking about your show, Ptolemy, of course, Surface Imperfect, the show this summer. And I'm excited to go over this because there's so many elements to this show. Of course, your artwork in the show, but then there's a whole installation happening here that's really interesting, the way the work is installed. So I want to get into the installation, but let's just talk about, you know, the external view, right? There's gallery windows here, and the windows themselves speak to the installation, right? They're images, but there's also letters flying through the air. So so again, I'm talking about like the windows, the external windows. When a visitor approaches, that's what they're looking at, right? So unusual. Can you tell me a little bit about this? Because that feels like fantastic right away. It's like we're in another world. What are all these letters flying through the air? And what are we looking at, right?
Yeah, so a big part of Surface Imperfect, and I think the best way to kind of unlock the work is kind of through a book that I made, my previous work titled Positive Illusions, which I released just in the springtime of 2025 with Mac and self-published Be Happy. And that work is sort of a dreamy, kind of surreal road trip through memory. And all the images in that book were made using computer-generated imagery. So I was working with a modeling software called Blender, making CGI images based off of a road trip that I went on when I was 9 years old. And through the process of making this work, I became, you know, of course, really deeply invested in this technology, this new way of image making, this new way of photographing. My background is relatively traditional. I went to school studying almost a kind of like photojournalism course, learning 4x5, medium format, small format. And then I encountered this new technology when I was in grad school studying in Switzerland. And I wanted to use this exhibition as an opportunity to really take another look at this Positive Illusions work, but kind of unveil a different layer to it, which is sort of a bit more of the process. And you know, the first image you encounter is sort of like these childish, kind of nostalgic magnet letters that I'm very kind of familiar with from my own childhood growing up in the 90s, and sort of throwing them in the air, and this sort of image made possible using this digital technology. So this sort of almost like neutral sky space is the first thing that you see looking at the window. And then as you enter, there are these magnets kind of almost like insects kind of crawling on the wall. And all of these all of these letters that are in the image were all CGI, something models that I made in CGI and are kind of found embedded through the images and found on the walls themselves.
So that's exciting to enter into the space now and talk about the show. You said you started out traditionally and obviously using Blender as well. So before talking about the whole installation in there, the images that are being made are being made how? Are you using large format? I know these are all C prints, but how are they created? Are you still using a lens? What are you working with?
Yeah, actually, each of the images in the show are also made in CGI. So none of them were made in a traditional way with a camera in a studio or on location. They're all made from me sitting in front of a computer for many hours building these, what I refer to as digital sets. One image in particular from the show is the same image that is inside of the book, Positive Illusions. And one of the very unique qualities of this process is that you can take an image in CGI and re-examine it over and over and over again, because of course a digital photograph made in CGI is very malleable. It's never fixed. You can constantly revise and move things around and change the lighting and change the setting and the objects and transform it. And this endless possibility is something that I'm trying to highlight in this exhibition. So while the frame of the image of all the images actually are exactly the same, but the objects that are sort of appearing and disappearing in each of the images are moving on the same stage, but it's essentially the same format, the same perspective, but the objects sort of move in and out of the frame. So that's sort of a big part of the show, is trying to reveal to the audience this kind of surreal quality that I'm also trying to explore in the book, which is that memory itself is this unfixed thing that we're constantly kind of editing as we sort of re-examine memory. There's a kind of a habit that we have to kind of trace back, but the more we sort of reflect on memory, the more we start to re-examine, and the sort of setting sort of changes in our minds.
Let's talk more about that, about memory, and that's because that seems central to the show, right? And also the installation. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, tell me more about that idea, because that's fascinating, and also how the installation relates to that. Because, you know, to me, those letters also remind me of childhood. Of course, those are my memories associated with it, and reading, mm-hmm. having a child, but and being a child. But tell me how. The installation, the way the letters are also kind of flying around the room, relate to that mm-hmm. that idea of memory that you're talking about, which is just fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, the way that I think about memory, of course, as I said, is sort of this unfixed, fluid, immaterial, vaporous thing that we conjure up. And memory is a kind of almost like physical structures that we haunt in our minds, or memories as a kind of simulation. And that is a central idea in my work, is that memories function almost as a simulation. And so therefore, using this medium, the CGI, digital photography, is sort of an interesting way to explore this idea. And the letters, you know, I one of my main sort of desires to one of the main reasons why I decided to go this route with the letters was I've always thought about photographs as words, you know, and as you sort of build a sequence of images, you start to develop sentences, and especially that rings true when making a photo book. You know, you sort of align images in a sequence, and then you're trying to tell a story, a sort of narrative, and then photographs function as the words and the punctuation and the climax of a story. And then I also think memories function similarly. There's sort of these images that appear in our mind, and we kind of reorganize them and sort of arrange them how we sort of see fit. And in the context of this exhibition, you know, I thought it'd be kind of interesting, as I'm sort of trying to discuss the surreality of memory, the surreality, the strangeness of nostalgia, the problematics of nostalgia as well, thinking about taking these words, the English alphabet, and which is the, you know, my personal language that I use, and have the letters sort of be completely unmoored and unfixed, almost in the same way that the digital space functions. You know, the letters kind of are pulled to the edges of the room. They kind of flow in and out of in between the images themselves, that they almost have a life of their own, and they're sort of playful. They actually kind of penetrate the architecture itself. And this sort of, you know, limbo space is a sort of atmosphere that I think was really important to create for audiences to sort of appreciate the story and the idea of memory itself.
There's something also about the fact that when I look at letters like this, you know, the first thing that I try to do, and I suppose I'm not alone, is read them somehow, right? Is mm-hmm. to put them together. And these seem like they're collecting almost, like iron filings. They're collecting in a corner, they're on top of each other, but also, unless I'm wrong, they seem intended not to form words, right? Though that is our intention, and perhaps that's some of the tension and the kind of cognitive work that the viewer is doing, right, is to try to pull these letters together, but they can't be, correct?
Correct, exactly. Yeah, and that's a really nice way to put it. I mean, the images that I'm showing in the exhibition, very sort of subtly, they're connected, and actually I always try to have, in every image, there's one object that reappears, so there's always a kind of connection between images. But the settings themselves are all very different and varied, but I try to avoid creating any kind of word formation on the wall or any kind of underlying meaning. It's really about the sort of explosion. And also in my work, there's, especially within positive illusions, I'm really interested in the way that insects organize. And there are actually a lot of ants in my work, partly because I'm this sort of militant organization of ants is very interesting to me. And also incorporating living figures, living things in my work, especially when I'm working in a digital space, is important. But I thought of the letters as kind of ants, kind of trying to organize themselves in the same way that, I try to make sense of memory.
Yeah, it's so interesting there. And so, yeah, to talk about some of the images themselves, and some of these images, let's talk about musings. Musings has a half of a peach in it and some almonds. This is a still life and a fork. And this to me looks like a straight print. Looks like a print that is made with large format, in the kind of world of Jan Gruber or other photographers that are playing with shadow and light and pattern in a beautiful way. So I don't know what else is happening in this image, but in scale and everything, there's also a narrative in here of some kind. So let's talk about this print musings. How is this built? Is this is also without a lens?
Yeah, so the image that you're looking at is again made in CGI, so there's no lens. Of course, within the program, I create planes and walls, and I add materials onto those planes and walls. So the marble or the sort of the texture of the green, it's all something that I'm projecting onto these surfaces, and especially the any kind of like roughness or texture of these materials is something that is added to the space. And it's a combination of things. So it's either objects that I model myself, I'll sort of extrude shapes and add materials to it and cast light on it. Other times I'll find assets online on the internet. So people that work in this way, they often will upload their creations onto the internet, and then people can then download them and incorporate them into their scene. So it's partly it's in some ways it's almost like a collage work, or like going to creating the set, like going out to the store and picking up objects and sort of creating still lifes. It's a similar process, but of course done virtually. And with musings and with all of the work, it relates to sort of my own personal experience, sort of memories that I have. But also sort of if you're sort of looking at the work collectively, you would see that the planes, the sort of horizontal lines and vertical lines all mimic each other. So the camera remains exactly the same in the same position in every image, but the objects themselves move and change and transform. And this is my way of highlighting a little bit of the A, uncertainty with memory, being unsure whether or not what actually did transpire in the mind's eye, but also partly to highlight the sort of surreal process of re-engaging with memory, that we have parallels throughout our lives that sort of return and sort of create patterns and sort of synchronicities. And so by keeping the camera in the same position and sort of changing the objects in and out of the frame, I'm trying to kind of emphasize this sort of the strangeness of exploring the past and sort of exhuming it in this digital way.
And at the same time, there's also, I mean, you said these tap into memories of yours. One of the ones that, and as you're saying, these are all on the same plane. Yeah, that's so true. I didn't catch that right away. Now I see that now. But I Spy is an unusual print. Mm-hmm. To me, in this exhibition, what looks like a kind of children's toys and dominoes, it of course recalls childhood. So maybe this one is a little more obvious, but perhaps not. You know, some of these are specific ideas in still lives, and I suppose have different memories associated with them. I Spy, of course, also has memories for me. But can we talk a little bit about the content, the narrative in this I Spy?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think I Spy is the biggest reveal of all of the works, where the sense of scale is clearly incorrect. There's also a sort of like just the strategic placement of all the objects. Everything is very much aligned. There's also it's in the sort of surface is a bit neutralized. Your own perspective of the environment is a bit unknown. But this is also, I think, a big key for the work itself. You know, the only image has the letters from the walls reappear in the image itself. But I was really inspired by the work of I Spy, partly because, I have, you know, nostalgic connections to it. I think I Spy was a big, extremely popular during the 90s when I was growing up, and books that I had lying around the house. And also the photography in I Spy is pretty spectacular, these sort of surrealist still life. But I think in, you know, especially within Positive Illusions and in this work, I'm really interested in the relationship of objects to other objects. And, you know, it's a very photographic thing and sort of symbolic thing. When you sort of arrange objects for a still life, there's a history, you kind of project meaning onto an object, and then those objects speak to other objects and create new meetings and new relationships. And the same is true in the works of I Spy, and also I Spy, he's the photographer, I'm forgetting his name now, but he played a lot with scale, and he asks viewers to try to find an object within a much larger scene and sort of participate in this active, very like engaged, active looking. And I sort of ask a lot of audiences in my work to sort of participate in that same active looking and finding synchronicities within images. And this is also very much particularly true in the work of Positive Illusions, where objects start to re-enter the frame in different instances throughout the book. And there's a sort of reason why I do that. I like to create sort of, it's sort of a narrative. You sort of have an object that's introduced, and then it re-enters a later part of the sequence. There's sort of a storyline that happens. But in the context of this process, it's also very important to, to recognize the sort of surreal process of image making in a digital space where objects are, we sort of need their sort of relationships with other objects to make them actually concrete and meaningful.
Yeah, so true. And what a nice way to revisit I Spy, because now that I think about those, I also, spent a lot of time with those books. Right, the photography in them is really unusual, and that's partly what's so special about those books. Benjamin, it's great talking about all of this. Viewers, of course, can follow the links and see more images and learn even more about this exhibition. I want to ask you one last question, which is, what are you reading at the moment?
Yeah, I'm actually just returned from the New York Art Book Fair, so I bought a couple books, and on the plane ride, I was reading Simone Vansaarloos's new book that he published with Self-Published Be Happy, and it's called Against Ageism, A Queer Manifesto. And I got about halfway through it on the plane, but it's really nice. It's a really, really beautiful book, and I'm very excited to continue reading it.
Benjamin, thank you so much for talking with me today. I wish you well, and I really appreciate your time with me today.
Thank you. It's great talking to you too.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.